Anybody got any questions about
anything? Usually we do it at the end of a class or something. Any questions?
How many verses did you teach the Book of Revelation? Would you recommend going back hitting in the Old Testament other than those that might, you know, be a direct reflection, like the name of the inkwell and stuff like that?
I would recommend after Revelation 5, I would recommend tying it all back. I think Revelation 1 through 5 is, without saying concretely, a lot of things in the church, in that church section, chapter 2 and 3, a lot of that looks Israel to me. I mean, it says church, and I understand that. But there's a real tribulation flavor in those things. And I don't know exactly why, except for when Paul and the rest of those disciples and apostles, when they first started preaching the gospel, they were preaching in the synagogues to a heavy Jewish dispersion. And so those churches were heavily populated by Jews. And so when he gets to Revelation, he starts talking about the churches, and he says stuff like, repent and do the first works, or I'll remove your candlestick out of its place. I mean, that could mean just, you know, take power from the church, and then it could mean other things as well. You know, when we say remove your candlestick, when we say that means just take power from the church, that's speculation. Because it doesn't say take power from the church. It said I remove your candlestick. And so there's a church flavor there, and there's also some Jewish flavor there. And we know this much, that after Revelation 3, there is no more mention of a church. So it's like 75% for, 25% against that being, you know, completely church age stuff right there. So I would take, to be on the safe side, I would take everything from Romans 6, Revelation 6 to Revelation 18 and pull from the Old Testament those prophecies out of, you know, Ezekiel through, and not just Ezekiel through Malachi, but mainly Ezekiel through Malachi, because that is the prophets. And then when you get back to the law and the kings and the chronicles, the poetical stuff, that would be the same as reading the book of Acts in the New Testament. I teach in the New Testament that the church epistles are written by Paul, but the practical application of the church is in the book of Acts. And it's not doctrinal things, it's people living the doctrine. Well, in the same way, in the Old Testament, you know, you're reading about Samuel and Joshua and those people is in the Old Testament, like reading about the Acts of the Apostles. And I use it the same way. So mainly the prophetical books are the actual prophecies that deal with the book of Revelation, the book of Daniel. And then the other books, you can see the prophetical things and, you know, the life of Noah and Enoch and so forth and so on. So I wouldn't be afraid to do that kind of study that I'm talking about. Revelation, you know, 6 and on. 4 and 5 is kind of scary. I hate to say anything doctrinal about Revelation 4 and 5. It's just a big question mark. Oh, Miss Dawn gave me a piece of paper about the 24 elders. And it's all, you know, it's all right. And I looked over that thing, and it's, you know, a lot of the things that I had seen out of that. But at the end of the day, you've still got a question mark, because it's, God didn't say, let me explain it this way. When you're reading Revelation 1, he says the seven stars and the seven, and then he goes and says, these seven stars are
the seven churches.
And then he says, these candlesticks are
right. Of the spirits of the church.
So what he's doing is he's defining it for you. Now when he gets to Revelation 4 and 5 and he says 24 elders, he doesn't say, and these 24 elders are.
He doesn't.
So mostly what you've got is, you know, we see the things, and that delineation that you wrote out was right on, spot on. But at the end of the day, that's all we can get. And at the end it leaves. And the reason that that is because, oh, it's kind of a, I don't want to say a paradox or, you know, or a catch 22, but that seven seal book that he's talking about in chapter 4 and 5 is the book that we're reading already without any question whatsoever. And it's sealed. And until those seals come off, and I'll guarantee you this, when that seal comes off, we'll go, oh yeah.
Yeah, that's
clear. As soon as that first seal comes off, oh, that's the 24. And of course we'll be there. You understand
sure,
that.
Right.
But we'll be in the moment then. That's why I said the other day in Sunday school, and I may not have made this clear, but a lot of times in Sunday school I'm a little thinking, you know, working with the bus kids and then doing this, that, and the other. I'm a little scatterbrained, but that's what I like about Sunday or Monday night Bible classes. I've got a clear mind when I come in here. This is the only thing I'm thinking about all day. But think about John standing there in Revelation 4 and 5. And he's standing here and he's seeing all these people and all this stuff. If it is the way it is, well, he's standing there getting this revelation and he's also in the crowd.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, you think about stuff like that. It's kind of funny. Daniel, the book of Daniel, chapter 7, he saw, the books were opened and a great multitude stood before him and a great multitude stood behind him. Well, Daniel's in the crowd.
Right, but when you also look at it with regards to the, we know that there's breadth, height, width, four dimensions. We know there's more than four. But if John was thrust out of where he was into way into the future,
yeah,
and he saw all these things.
Well, it makes it physically possible.
It makes it.
Mm-hmm. It does that.
Yeah, to understand, you know, the depth of all that stuff is. But one day, that's like the Bible says, we'll know as we're known.
Well, it's like you were saying that. In